At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang, my colleague and co-host. Japan Times, concerned about China and North Korea's growing military capabilities. Japan has begun developing a series of missile systems designed to help defend itself at greater distances and keep enemy forces away, particularly from its southwestern islands. We welcome Lance Gatling, principal of Nexial Research. He is in Tokyo. Lance, a fundamental geography question. What southwestern islands, and is this new for the Japanese Defense Forces? Good evening to you.
Good evening, Gordon. Hello, hello, John. Yes, the southwestern islands are southwest from the southernmost large Japanese island of Kyushu, which is also home to a number of prefectures. So the southwestern islands, in the Japanese view, stretch from Kyushu almost to Taiwan. The southwesternmost island, Yonaguni, is very close to Taiwan. And in fact, if you fly out of Taipei and turn to go north into Japan, you enter Japanese air defense identification zone within a couple of minutes of departing from Taipei International Airport when you get over the water. So those islands are divided between the prefecture of Kagoshima and the Okinawa prefecture. Okinawa is the largest of the islands in that chain, and we all know how strategically important Okinawa is. But those islands sit astride a couple of major international shipping channels where the Japanese have decided that they will position the first versions of these missiles, the Type 12, was developed in 2012, fielded in 2015 as a ground-launched anti-ship missile. It's relatively short range, and the new developments are going to make it stealthy, extend the range, also extend its capabilities to communicate and receive and deliver data and network with other sensor systems.
Gordon, you have a question for Lance.
Lance, staying with geography for a moment, you mentioned Yonaguni, which is as southwest as you can go and still be in Japan. It's actually south of Taipei, and it's so close to the main island of Taiwan that you can actually see Taiwan on a clear day. The reason why this is important is because many people say that for China to successfully invade Taiwan, it has to establish a blockade. For that blockade to be successful, it actually has to include sovereign Japanese territory, including Yonaguni. What are the Japanese military? What is their general thinking about a war in Taiwan? Do they think that they would have to defend Yonaguni and whether it would be included inside a Chinese blockade zone?
Well, I believe that the Japanese self-defense forces, which is what they call their military, it is essentially by law the most heavily armed civil service on the planet because they don't have a military laws as such. But they're very competent, very capable, and they have recognized that they could be drawn into a conflict involving Taiwan. And that's part and parcel of what these missiles are meant to do, is to help the self-defense forces defend those islands, particularly Yonaguni and the nearby islands, which will receive ground self-defense force anti-ship mobile tactical missile units, so essentially truck-launched transporter erector launchers that can launch these missiles to defend those islands. The proximities are so close that it's difficult to envision that, as you say, that the Japanese don't get involved. It might not be Yonaguni because the channel between Yonaguni and Taiwan is actually pretty small and quite shallow. It would probably be north of Yonaguni, where there's another deeper international transit strait. But still, the Japanese would defend that if need be. And no one wants to see this scenario, but the Japanese are getting ready for it.
We're talking about the metaphor of a porcupine. I read in the Japan Times that while Japan is developing these missiles to be hypersonic, it is now taking possession of 400 Tomahawk cruise missiles with a range of 1,600 kilometers. That's a heck of a stopgap, Lance. 400 cruise missiles in those islands. Does your measure here, is the public listening to what we're talking about, where this is not just rearmament, this is turning Japan's southwestern islands into a fortress?
Well, the first island chain, which is from Taiwan, if you go northeast, the southwest islands from Japan, if you go northeast from Taiwan, the first island chain is that island chain leading to Kyushu, and you're linking that to Japan. If you go from Taiwan the other way, you're talking about the Philippines. So the hypersonic development program will be some years out. The Type 12 upgrade program that the Japanese have mentioned is very ambitiously set to field missiles as early as 2026, 27. So the Tomahawks are meant to be an interim capability. It may well be their mainstay for an extended period of time because the development from a round cross-section, fairly conventional anti-ship missile to a stealthy coffin-shaped, bat-wing deploying long-range strike missile is pretty daunting. They've actually cut out a pretty ambitious development program. So I think that the Tomahawks, which would probably be a mix of FMS from U.S. Existing supplies and new build from the manufacturers in the United States, may well be around a lot longer than the Japanese are saying now. But the difference is, and heretofore, the United States and Japan exchange information regarding the defense of Japan. And Japan was not involved in the offense from Japan or Korea into either North Korea or China in the contingencies developed by the United States military. But now, in order to utilize those Tomahawks, they're going to have to talk very seriously about exchanging target acquisition and damage assessments based on various sensors, whether airborne or spaceborne or whatever else comes into the bilateral arrangement. So this is a huge step forward, and it's going to be very important not only for the capability, but all the immediate capability of the weapons themselves, but also the development of the defense arrangement between the two countries.
We have a couple of minutes, Gordon, for a question.
So, Lance, is the Japanese public ready for these developments you're talking about?
I believe that they have reached a consensus. It's not unanimous. It is a consensus. And I think a lot of people need to look up the definition of the term consensus in the dictionary. It doesn't mean everybody agrees. It means that enough people agree that there is a majority and there is strength behind it, where the representative government has been comfortable with making this decision. And I believe that it's swung very greatly in the near 40 years I've been here from when I first got here. It would have been a huge political issue to make statements like this. And now there doesn't seem to be a ripple. There are no demonstrations outside the Diet, the Japanese Parliament, or the Defense Agency. I mean, certainly there are small groups that are peacefully demonstrating and making their voices heard, but they're moving forward on this. I think Japan is very serious about this, and they have the attention of the Koreans, the North Koreans, and the South Koreans, for that matter, as well as the Chinese.
Is it too cynical to say the Japanese Self-Defense Force has just made a decision to turn into the Japanese offensive force?
Well, we can't. You could actually say that in a sense if they get what they're calling counterstrike weapons. These are weapons that are.
That's a yes.
I'm sorry.
That's a yes. I'm going to take that as a yes, Lance.
think that is a yes. Well, no, legally, there's still self-defense forces. They're bound by the Constitution. There is talk of modifying the Constitution, amending the Constitution to make the self-defense force a normal military in this in the Western sense of the word. Right now, they have a very Japanese solution, which is we're going to have our cake and we're going to eat it, too.
Lance Gatling of Nexial Research. He's in Tokyo. Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang. I'm John Bashan.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Save big money right now at Menards. From smoke and carbon monoxide detectors to fire extinguishers and more, get a home safety products keep your family protected in case of emergencies. Smoke and carbon monoxide detectors are perfect for your living spaces, offering protection and peace of mind. Save big money on all Kidde products at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.